So, as I shared earlier, one of my dear friends, Pastor Scott, God just put us together, Pastor Scott Hornsby. I'll tell you the truth. I went to a conference a few years ago, and, you know, you're learning all kinds of stuff. And I said, God, I need somebody in my life. You know, I just need a really good friend in the ministry to somebody. And the whole time I'm just kind of watching. It's like a three-day thing. I'm praying. I'm looking. The conference is over, and I'm walking down this aisle. And this man right here, Scott Hornsby, walks up and he says, "Don't I know you?" And I said, "No, sir, I've never seen you." And he started talking to me. He says, "Well, I want to get to know you." We started talking, and I started telling him about, you know, my vision and my dream for ministry. And he said, "You and I are going to be best friends." And that's what's been happening over the last 3 years. We've just been getting closer and closer. And I can't tell you what a blessing this man is to me. With the most time when I need it, my phone rings and it says Scott Hornsby on my phone. It's my friend, Pastor Scott Hornsby. And I'm so glad for relationships. And I just pray that God gives you those kind of relationships. Pastor Mike's been teaching on relationships and having mentors that mentor you and having friends that you're friends with and having people that you mentor. It's so, so important. So I'm just excited that he's able to be with us this morning. As I told you, he was supposed to be here 2 weeks ago, and they got, I think he said, 24, 28 inches of rain in like one day where he lives, and maybe he'll tell you more about that, but we did postpone it for 2 weeks, but he's here today, and I don't want to take up any more of his time. Would you just please welcome my dear friend, brother in the Lord, a pastor to me, Pastor Scott Hornsby. All the way from Louisiana.
Thank
Louisiana.
You.
He's a Cajun.
Yeah.
Cajun pastor.
You see, when they had that purple book up there, that's actually LSU small group. Yeah. I mean, I felt a witness seeing it as soon as I saw the purple book. I said, that and the guns, I'm joining those two. I know y'all love LSU down here, and just about as much as we love the Florida Gators. Well, it's good to be here. I know that we have no threat with crawfish. As long as you guys call them crawdads, we know you're not eating them. And so we want to make sure we keep y'all under the gun there. Because once you try it and suck a crawfish head, you're living the life, man. You know, it's so great to be here at Victory. Man, I can just give you a quick update of what's happening in South Louisiana. Kind of like the perfect storm hit our area. And I heard like yesterday that it's the largest natural disaster that America's ever seen. So far we know people have lost 110,000 homes. It's just been remarkable, unbelievable, and the churches that have been affected by this storm. And just think about this. This church would be underwater 8 or 10 feet. And then that's congregations and pastors and buildings destroyed. But, you know, I always believed and held to a scripture my whole life in Romans 8:28, that all things work for the good. That those that love God, I love God, you love God, and called according to his purpose. So somehow through all of this, God is going to work something great out of it. And we're not getting much media exposure down there in South Louisiana, but that's all right. The Holy Spirit's exposed what's going on. And you ought to see, you know, we had a murder in our city not too long ago like you guys did here in Orlando, but y'all's was a lot more magnified. But it caused all kind of trouble, and they brought these outside groups in to cause division in our city. And our city's not like that at all. Our city's been unified because of this storm especially. And you should see the miraculous things that are going on there in South Louisiana. People coming together, working in homes and buildings and churches. It's absolutely unbelievable. I know at our church in 2 days we served over 3,000 meals to people, not counting all the supplies that people send to us that we're able to send out through the whole region in that area. So it's all working for our good, and we thank God for it, you know. and that he's going to get his glory out of it. You know, being a Cajun is, you know, that's a whole other lifestyle. We got a lot of Boudreaux's and Thibodeau's down there in South Louisiana, you know. And I don't know if you heard of this, but Boudreaux, he died during the flood. Oh, yeah, he died. And went to his wife, Clotilde, and said, "Hey, Clotilde, I got some bad news for you." She said, "What's that?" He said, "Boudreaux's dead. He died." She said, "Oh, my goodness." She said, "Well, he said, we want to put something in the paper about Boudreaux. What do you want us to put?" She said, "Just put in there, Boudreaux died." Said, "No, you got to put something more than Boudreaux died." So she said, "Okay, let me think a minute." He said, "Okay, Boudreaux died, boat for sale." One more, then Boudreaux went to heaven. Yeah, you know Boudreaux was saying, yeah. And he got to heaven, and St. Peter met him at the gate, and he said, "Okay, Boudreaux," he said, "been waiting for you." He said, "Before you come in, you got to spell a word." He said, "Man, I can't spell." He said, "You know, I didn't get through no sixth grade education." He said, "Yeah, but you got to spell this word to get into heaven." So Boudreaux said, "What's the word?" He said, "Love." Boudreaux said, "L-O-V-E." He said, "Come on in, Boudreaux. Welcome to heaven." About that time, the phone rang, and St. Peter said, "Look, I got to go upstairs. I'll be right back. Just watch the gate." Boudreaux said, "I can't watch this gate." He said, "I'll be right back." So he went upstairs, and Boudreaux was there, and who would you think? Clotilde came up. She died. She said, "Boudreaux, let me in." She said, "What happened, Clotilde?" He said, "I love you so much, Boudreaux. I couldn't stand living without you. I just died." He said, "Well, you got to spell a word." She said, "Don't you start that, Boudreaux, with me. I ain't spelling no word." "Yeah, you got to spell a word. It's a new rule in heaven." She said, "What's the word?" He said, "Czechoslovakia." So I think Boudreaux had enough. Somebody did. All right, somebody. You know, every one of us in this room right now, we're believing God for something. It's just the way life is. We're always standing in the gap, trusting God for a healing, for someone else, our family. But our life, really, as a believer, is really we're intercessors, we're people of faith, and we're trusting God, believing God for things. And I think that God has a plan, and I know he does, for everybody's life in this building. But there are certain things that we have to overcome in our life, and that's why we are overcomers. I know in my 33 years as a pastor of Fellowship Church, which now my son is the pastor, and I travel for the Ark now all over the country, but I see that we all are engaged in this battle, and we are so well equipped by God to be able to do exceedingly abundantly, not only what God does in our life, but what God wants us to do on the planet. He wants us, he chose us to make a difference. And so as you're believing God, there is a spiritual law that we live by. It's a simple law. Most people know this law. It's the law of, you know, sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law, and also it's a physical law. And Paul tries to explain this to us, and he's using these farming terms. Anybody in here grow? You have a garden and you grow things? One person. See, that's what's wrong with America today. See, I used to pastor a country church, and boy, they grew everything. Mustard greens, tomatoes. You know, they picked figs, and I love figs. I said I love figs. Y'all can run home and get it before I leave today. But anyway, they knew the principle of growing things, and we do also in spiritual realm and things like that. So let me pray, and I want to just talk to you just for a minute, really about having your prayers answered and living in a law that's beyond sometimes what we just take for granted. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we study your word and we're so thankful for it, let the word of God just fall on fertile ground and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold return. We receive it by faith in the name of Jesus, and everybody said. Amen. Paul says, I'm going to teach you something about how to receive something from God. And really, it's the spirit-filled life. It's really walking in the Spirit and being directed by the Spirit. We sang a lot about the Holy Spirit today, and there's been a lot of things already said about our pastor said that, you know, how that God leads us and there's purpose in our life and we have a destiny in our life, and every one of us want to find that. And Paul tries to make this explanation, and he does this in Galatians 6. And by the way, this is some of my favorite verses right here. Chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction." How many of you know that's true? "And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the," now check this out, "proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Your life, if you check your life out, your life is a result of sowing and reaping. Are the things that you've done that's been negative, or the things that you've done positive, you're reaping from that. That's why you've got to be very careful what you say, what you do, where you plant your seeds. I believe the best place to plant your financial seed is your local church. You know, we plant, and you guys are a member of ARC, and you plant into the ARC. And the ARC is the best, to me, bang for the buck, to move the ministry to a whole nother level. And we have over 600 churches now that you guys have planted, over 600 churches. Give yourself a hand clap on that one. But this is an eternal type life that we live, because it says in Genesis, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Other words, until one day God raptures the church and brings us back and we begin the thousand-year reign with Christ on earth, we live this principle of sowing and reaping. It's so important that we understand whatever you put in the ground, it's going to come up. Whatever you put in your life, it's going to come up. And the law has such huge effects on our life. It affects your health, your relationships, your financial well-being, how you distribute your finances, your future, your relationship with God. But here's the thing. You have control. God puts the seed in your hand. Now, I know the enemy will attack us sometimes, and circumstances in our life will just happen. There will be warfare. And Paul goes on to a whole other level and teaches us how to war when we didn't do anything wrong. There are certain things that I have to fight against. I didn't sow those seeds. They just came against me. That's why my favorite life verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So sometimes we're in a realm where we didn't start the fight necessarily, but we're in this fight. And so he teaches us about the warfare of the flesh and of the enemy. But there are times that we don't have control over these things, and so we fight in a different way. But there is times when God puts the seed in our hand. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. And it's what you do with that seed that's going to change your life or make your life. Verse 9 is so important, but listen what it says. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," and this is the part I want you to kind of focus on. Can I teach you a little bit this morning? Is that all right? "In due season, we will reap if we faint not." It says in the Amplified, "In due time and at the appropriate season, we shall reap if we don't loosen or relax or lose our courage and faint." Other words, when you do it, you hold on to it until it manifests itself in your life. Come on, God's going to do it. It's going to happen. You just can't give up. Don't quit. Keep believing God. It'll turn around. I've noticed, just like in our natural season, spring, summer, fall, and winter, those are times that kind of gives an illustration about sowing. In the springtime, you plant, you plow, and you plant. The summertime is when those plants get root. And that's when the sun and the maybe the bugs or whatever it is tries to destroy it. But that's when the roots are really set. Then harvest time is in the fall. That's when we reap the benefits of all that we've done. And then in the wintertime, it's a time for rest. Paul put it like this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And these seasons, really, they're set by God. They're the natural seasons, the way things that happen. And then we got in our life. If you think about your life, let's just use these numbers. From 0 to 21, that's the first season of your life. I can't hardly remember that season. I know I had a season. But the first season, you're from first, that's home plate to first base. That's when you're young, you know, you're going to college, and then you meet your spouse, and you get married, and the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie. It's amore. I mean, the amore should be keeping going, you know what I mean? And then from second to third base in our lives, it's maybe, let's say, that's 20 years old to 40 years old, you know? And then from second base, we're talking about seasons, the way that things happen, to third base, that's when you're like 40 to 60. But now, the new 60 is the 40 is the new 60. So I'm actually 40 because I am 68. Look at somebody, I can't believe he's 68. That was the most pathetic, I can't believe he's 68 I ever heard in my life. Come on, y'all going to help me or not? I guarantee you men know when it's deer season or it's time to fish, or ladies, you know when you're pregnant, you know when it's season to have that baby. There's some people in here, I'm praying that y'all make it through today. When my wife had our first child, I walked in, I said, "Baby, I'm with you. I feel your pain. Come on, you can count on me." She said, "Boy, you outside your mind. You don't know what you're talking about." I was out there with my friends eating, you know, having a blast. She's out there. Well, whatever you ladies do, God bless you. But those are like the seasons that we have, the natural seasons. We see it in nature. We see it in our own personal life. And, you know, when you get around past your, you know, 60s, late 60s, early 70s, I'm not trying to date any of us or say this is going to happen, but you're on the way home. You're from third base to home. But that's the way things unfold. There's seasons in our life. But I want to talk to you today about, really maybe get you to understand that there's a timing with God. God has a timing. I want to talk to you about the timing of God to live a life of victory. Because I see so many people frustrated because their prayers are not getting answered, and they feel like time is passing them by. And it's not passing you by. God has a time and a season, remember those other verses, for everything. And if you won't give up, he will bring it to pass in your life. I believe there are principles by faith that you and I should live by. These are the kind of things that I have lived by my whole Christian walk, standing on God's word. How many just got a word? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When the doctor told me I had cancer years ago, I had a word from God. I didn't have anything else but a word from God, that I stood on the word of God out of Jeremiah, that he was going to heal me of all of my wounds. And that word kept me when nothing else seemed to keep me. You need to get a word from God in the hour you're in right now. Come on, somebody. Then it's the prayer of agreement, coming in agreement of prayer with someone else. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, you know the verses, right? And then it's prayer and fasting, God's dynamic duo. You want to see something change? You get away from that table and you start getting serious with God. And I'll tell you, I promise you I can say that I have never not received something from God and answered a prayer when I quit eating and I start praying. It's something. If God didn't change, he changed me. And God never changes. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's praying in the Holy Spirit. God gives you this beautiful language that you could pray mysteries unto God that the devil does not know what you're saying. Maybe it's the power of confession. I believe in saying the right thing all the time. Come on. Or maybe you're just binding and loosening, sowing and reaping, or laying on of hands. All powerful principles of faith, and they work. But every one of them hinges on God's timing. They do not work unless you understand God's timing. Habakkuk chapter 2, this is talking about a vision. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. But watch this now. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for watch the promise, it will surely take place. It will not delay. That's about vision. If God's spoken to you, it's going to happen. Have you ever noticed God is never in a hurry? I wish he would kind of like, come on, move it, move it. But he doesn't. He's got a plan the way that he does. That's his timing. There's a reason you can trust God that he's got your best interests at heart. It's his timing that makes everything work powerfully. It's the springboard of faith to answered prayer when you understand timing. When I was young, I used to love to watch my daddy shave. I was maybe 4 years old. He had these Gillette safety razors. Some of you guys may know. They sell them on television now like they're some new invention. They've been around since the 50s. I know. I was born in 1948. And he'd undo that blade and put that safety Gillette blade in there. That rise foamy would be all over his face. And I would sit there and look at my daddy and watch him. He'd go, shaving, you know, and I thought, my Lord, I want to shave. And so he left, and I got the foam out. I got the razor. You know they have blades in those razors? I cut myself with that razor. You know why? It wasn't time for me to shave. Now that I do shave, I hate it. My little girl, Mary Jane, when she was about 4 years old, she was playing with my wife's jewelry, and my wife had a diamond engagement ring, a beautiful diamond, by the way, and she flushed it down the commode. And my wife said, Mary Jane, flush my diamond down the commode. I said, Mary Ann, stick with me. You'll be wearing diamonds. Well, 40 years later, she said, where's the diamond? I said, don't rush me. So she went out and bought her own diamond. And that's the truth. Look at somebody and say, don't rush me. I was telling her it was God's timing wasn't right, but she missed the Lord. She's not here, so I can say anything I want. Hallelujah. A fascinating story in the Gospel of John chapter 5. I was always fascinated by this particular story because it talks about this man who's crippled. And he's by the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says there's a great multitude of people, crippled people, impotent people. They had no blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And watch this verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season. Now, you have Jesus walking the planet, but you still have angels coming down, stirring the water, and people are getting healed. And it made me kind of think, God can do anything he wants. He can heal you any way he wants to heal you. But this man, the Bible says, as the story goes on, never got healed. And then Jesus asked him the question, you know, why aren't you healed? He said, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here 38 years. He said, well, why aren't you healed? I've been in this same situation that I'm in for 38 years. He said, because every time the stirring of the water, somebody, because the first one in, got the healing. He said, but he never had his season. At a certain season, an angel came. Now watch this. The Bible was written about that story so that the timing of God could be revealed to us, that when it was time, Jesus showed up at the pool and healed the man's body. 38 years that way, the same way. But the time wasn't right. But when the time was right, Jesus himself, the power of Jesus came out and healed him. And you know what? Jesus says, take up your bed and walk, because it was his time. I'm looking at people right now. It's your time. I came here to tell you it's your time today. I heard a voice back in the ministry. Our church was in another city. And this voice said to me, I want you to move into another city. And so I get all excited about this move, but it wasn't time for me to move right then. You know how long I had to wait before I moved into the city we're in now? 16 years. But in 16 years, I learned so many things. If we'd have gone into the city that God has given us now with the model that we had, the way we did church then, and moved in that city and had done church the way we used to, we'd have failed. It took God those years to develop in me a lot of things, but it wasn't my time. But when it was time, I believe there's a supernatural thread that should run through every one of our lives. We learn a lot of things, but I tell you, we need God's supernatural power running through our lives. When it was time, I've driven through that city looking for property, and I used to get so frustrated, I wouldn't even go through the city. I'd drive around that city. And then I drove one day, and there was a little sign on a creosote post, land for sale, 35 acres, and we paid $400,000 for those 35 acres. And now, 10 years later, you couldn't buy 1 acre for $400,000. Timing. It's everything. Know when to hold them and know when to fold them. The Rolling Stone says, time is on my side. Oh, yes, it is. God's got the master timesheet. He knows where to put you and when to put you and when to move you and when to stop you. And it's the sweet spot of faith, you know. If you play golf or played baseball or any of those kinds of things, you know. When it was time for my son to become senior pastor of my church that I had pastored all my life and all the buildings I built and all that kind of stuff, I felt God taking the mantle of a senior pastor off my life and we're going to place it on my son. But my son first started out, he wanted to be a missionary. I said, dear Lord, I love missionaries. But he don't want to be a missionary, God. I'm telling you, he don't. He wants to pastor this church because I don't want it. No, that sounded bad. But I didn't mean it like that. But then after my son, then he wanted to go to another city and plant a church and all these things. And I'm telling you, what, when it was time, it was the most amazing, most unbelievable service I'd ever been to in my life. That Sunday night, we had a huge thing at our church. Pastors from everywhere came in congregation. And when I laid my hands on my son, along with our presbyters and overseers, I felt the mantle of a senior pastor leave me and go on my son. When I walked outside, I felt like I could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Come on, somebody. My time was up, and I could sense it in my spirit that God had been moving me somewhere else to do something else. He wasn't going to shut me down and retire me and say, that's it, old boy, you know. No, he had something else, and now my son is doing the most unbelievable job. Our church is growing. It's amazing. Timing. It's so important. Luke said, chapter 24, talking about the Holy Spirit, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down on you. The promises of God are connected with his timing. He's not going to put you in a situation until you're ready. I used to box. I didn't start out boxing a champion. You start out boxing people that has your ability. And then you work yourself up. It's the same thing with God. He's not going to put you in a situation so you can be defeated. Actually, his timing is working on your behalf. Somebody in here needs to cool it, man. You need to chill out right now because he's fixing it for you. Just don't mess it up. You know? I'm going to give you four results of God's timing. And just let know that God, he has your life in his hand. The number one thing, I think, you're getting stronger. He's building you up. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what's happening to you while you're waiting on God? Your faith is increasing. Your faith is getting stronger. You see all these muscles on this body of mine. Put your glasses on. It took time to get all these muscles. Thank y'all. That was generous of you to say that, you know. He said, talked about eagles. They live a life and they retain their strength and their power. Do you know why? They molt their feathers every year like a young eagle. They get brand. I'm molting right now. I'm getting ready to get some brand new hair. Come on, somebody. But that's why they're so strong. That's why he uses the eagle. He says, man, they run, they don't get weary, because every year they get brand new feathers and they're able to soar and keep this life of rigor and power in their lives. While you're waiting on God, God's doing things. He's fixing things. He's making you strong. He's dealing with your mind. You're becoming mature in the way that you think. You're seeing things different. Come on, somebody. And it's all about the power of God resting on you. One of my favorite stories, when Joshua had gone into the promised land and they defeated all the enemies that were there, and God made some promises, and Moses made some promises. And one of the promises he made was to Caleb. And Joshua is on his deathbed, and he's telling how he's going to die. And he says, "Now you didn't ask for me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord." And watch what Caleb says. "Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he has promised for all these 45 years since Moses made the promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on the journey. I can still travel. I can fight as well as I could then. And I'm asking you to give me the hill country that the Lord God promised me." Let me tell you something. Caleb said, "You go ahead and die, Joshua, but me, I'm 85, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. I can fight just like I used to when I was in my 40s. Come on, if you're over 60, 70 years old, you're just getting stronger. Come on, somebody. Give me my mountain, God." I tell you, when you're waiting on a promise, God's going to fulfill that promise. My brother Billy, before he passed away, and I don't know if you know, Brother Billy was the president of ARC, and we were 14 months apart, and I spent 6 weeks with him before he passed away. And I wasn't going to tell the story, but I'll tell you, I wheeled him down to the end of his cul-de-sac in his wheelchair, and he said to me, "I want you to promise me something." And looking at some of Matt Fry's guys that used to go to Matt Fry's, a good friend of mine who's a board member of ARC. But my brother Billy said, "I want you to promise something to me." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I want you to promise me that you'll pastor the ARC pastors." And I said, "Okay, I'll promise you." I said, "But you lay hands on me and pray for me, and I'll do it." And you know, it's not just my calling necessarily that I'm doing what I do now. It's a promise that I made. And Caleb had a promise from Moses. He says, "I'm as strong now as I was then." And when you're waiting on God, it's not a bad thing. You're getting stronger. And you're getting smarter. And you're getting wiser. And you're getting better looking. Can I get an amen? I just threw that in there. Number two, while you're waiting, this is the results of God's timing. You're gaining wisdom. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. there are certain things that can only be taught by time. You can't learn it any other way. Let me give you a little tweet that God gave me. This will make a good tweet if you're a tweeter. Books prepare you. Lectures inspire you. Experience, time trains you. And you're not going to learn certain things unless you just live through it. You're not going to know. And you know, all the years I've been in ministry, I tell you, I think about the zeal helped me so much as a young pastor. But as I got older, I started understanding more about ministry. And you know how you get wisdom? Through time. You just sit at the feet of Jesus. I know young men that have tremendous wisdom, and they're still young, but it's been the timing that's taught them. If you look in the Bible, every proverb teaches us the power of wisdom. Wisdom builds confidence. Down in America, sometimes they put down on the elderly. We should lift the elderly up and listen to what they have to say, because their words are full of wisdom. Wisdom teaches you like no other teacher there is. Number three, the results of God's timing. It produces endurance. Patience, you might say. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, listen, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. You know what that means? You're in it for the long haul. I got saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost fire baptized 40-something years ago, and I have never backslid. You say you're bragging? No, I just found the real thing. I found out, so I'm never let this go. But I'm telling you something. I've endured a lot of things in my 40-something years as a Christian. But in those 40-something years, let me tell you what, it's caused and given me endurance not to give up and just wait on God. I can honestly tell you, God has never let me down. Never. God has been too good to me, too good to my family. We have 3 kids, 10 grandkids. We're blessed. I have 2 granddaughters about to get married. About time. I need some great grandkids. But anyway, they're absolutely gorgeous girls, and my 3 grandsons. And I'm so blessed. I'm blessed out of my mind. And I'm telling you what, you just got to hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. Come on. That's gross, but that's cool. I went from that to a hair and a biscuit. I don't know, man. I should end the message right now. How many been watching the Olympics? You watched them. You ever watch those long distance runners? It's not the one that starts that wins the race. It's the one that looks like in last place, but they got what they call the kick. And that kick comes in, and they pass all those people. I'll tell you, when you have the endurance of God and you understand timing, when your faith is tested, your endurance is going to grow. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have that kick. You know why I've been successful in ministry? One of the reasons, I just outlasted everybody else. They all quit and did whatever. I just kept on going. I'm like that little energized bunny. And the last thing, and I love this part of it, is a result of God's timing, is walking in God's perfect will. I have never in my life preached permissive will. That's not God's best. It's His perfect will. The Bible says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. But watch this, by changing the way you think, then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and how pleasing and perfect His will really is. You know, it's good to know you maximized your life. It's good to know that you did it. I mean, you maximize your purpose. You're living your life to your full purpose. I tell you, it's a good feeling. Walking in God's will. I want to fulfill my destiny. I want to live as long as God's called me to live. And I want to, when I'm finished, I want to say, well, that man lived out his destiny. And you can do that if you learn about God's timing and waiting on God. Every person in the Bible had to live out the principle of God's timing. Every person, you get any story you want to read about, any hero of faith, they did it through God's timing. So don't get tired of doing good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Listen, whenever we have the opportunity, we should be good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. You know what that tells me? Get involved in your church. Do something at church, man. I'm a pastor. I've pastored lots of people. I want to tell you something. Get involved. Do something in your church. The lawyer's wife was chopping up fruit back there. I like lawyers. And I'm thinking to myself, she's doing something for the church. She's going to bring that stuff out there and those people will enjoy it. And we're practicing worship in here. My brother in the back asked me about what scripture do you have on your heart that I can send to India or just whatever. Do something for God. You can do that through your local church. If you can get the principle, you won't be frustrated. You won't be disgusted, disappointed in life. You'll know how to wait on God. And just in time, when you really should get what you're believing for, you'll get it. Listen, your greatest success is timing. Your greatest failure is missing your moment. When it's time, when it's all come together, then step through the door. Don't miss your calling. Let me finish this. The wise youth makes hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. When I know it was when it was time for us to move our ministry, the door was open. When it was I look in my life, you've got to be sensitive to the door. When God's worked all these things, because they're all working for our good, seize the moment and walk through the door. I'm not talking about, it's not about waiting all forever. I'm talking about it's a setup by God. And when you see it and you sense it in the Holy Spirit, then you walk through those doors. And God will meet you and you will be abundantly blessed. Let me give you one of my preaching sermons in about 2 minutes. Can I have 2 minutes? Who'll give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the Bible says, the man of God was brought to a valley, the prophet Ezekiel. And in this valley was nothing but dry bones. And God asked him a question. He said, can these bones live? And the prophet says, Lord, I don't know. Only you know whether they can live or not. He said, I want you to speak to them bones. I want you to tell them bones to live again. The Bible said he prophesied as he was commanded, preached to them. And all of a sudden, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. And bone came to bone, and then sinews and muscles and flesh covered, and they stood up. He said, I want you to call for the wind that represents the Holy Spirit and breathe. And they became a great, exceedingly great army. Obviously, there was a battle there at one time, but he was a time in history that he raised the army back up. I know what's going on in our country today, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I've seen these moments before in history when God would bring revival to break the back of wicked things. during the hippie movement back in the 60s and all that was going on. Our president, we had a war in Vietnam. All these things. God birthed a charismatic movement. That's when I got saved. And then movement after movement. We're getting ready to see the greatest movement in the history. I mean, the end time movement is getting ready to come upon us. So don't worry about it. Look for revival. And Ezekiel said, dry bones, live again. Dry bones, live again. Come on, everybody say that. But say, dry bones, live again. That's good. Do it one more time. Dry bones, live again. And whatever's dead in your life, speak to it, let it live, and don't miss the revival that's coming up. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Would you bow your head with me just one moment? You know, I find this in a lot of places that people have religion, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus. And there's so much difference between religion and relationship. Religion's dead. It doesn't bring you anything. It looks like it may be the real thing, but it's not. But God wants to have a relationship with you. And you want to go from religion to relationship. If you just say, Pastor Scott, would you just pray for me? I want a close relationship with God today. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and put it right back down, okay? Who else would say that's me? I want a relationship with Jesus. Anyone else that raise their hand and say that's me? How many could say this like this? You know what? Sometimes I needed God to refresh my life. I want my relationship with Him to get closer and stronger and better than it was before. Who could raise their hand and say, would you pray for me? Yes. I know I do. I just felt the Holy Spirit just say something to me. I just feel like there's some people here. You just might be tired right now. And it's just been a hard road to hoe. And you just say, ask God to give me strength right now and get me out of this slump. Anyone else that asks me, pray for me. All right? Okay. Okay, y'all ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person that God want to change from relationship, from religion to relationship, God, I ask you, let them just say simple words like, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I receive you as my Savior. And God, for every person that needs a brand new touch, that their strength would be strong and their joy would be full, their peace would pass understanding, God, I ask that you touch it. Holy Spirit, have your way in this building right now. I've sensed you from the very beginning that you were here. God, minister to your people right now. And those that are frustrated and disappointed and disgusted, and God, they've been waiting for things, let them know, every one of us know in this room, Father, that your timing is perfect. That, God, they're just right on the edge of the ledge of stepping off or into, God, the fullness that you have for them. And now by faith, Father, every person in this building, we just receive it, God, with joy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, man. Amen.